Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So let's talk about curing America's most dangerous epidemic. Dr. Charlie Seltzer is the only physician in the country board certified in obesity medicine. I think that's awesome. He's joining me today to discuss his approach for curing our country's dangerous epidemic. Dr. Charlie, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Well, I appreciate it, Dr. Mike. I just want to clarify. Many doctors are board certified in obesity medicine. I'm the only one who's also an American College of Sports Medicine clinical exercise specialist.
So you got all that stuff going. And that's probably why, because that's a lot of stuff. Well, thanks for coming on. I want to talk about four things, and we have a short time here, so I'm going to get right to it. I want to talk about the importance of nutritional counseling, the importance of hormones, some of the latest medications, and then lastly, just some of your favorite supplements that are really effective for people trying to lose weight. So let's start off. How important is it, if somebody's looking to lose 30 pounds or more, how important is it for them to get professional nutritional counseling really before they start anything?
I mean, I think it's very important that people get counseling. It's not even so much the nutrition, because if you pull 10 overweight people off the street and ask them what they need to do, they would all say, I need to eat less fried food and eat more vegetables. It's addressing the behavior behind the decisions that people make that's more important. And a good nutritionist can do that, but somebody who's trained in that type of medicine or practice is going to be the most helpful, because most people know what to eat. They just don't do it.
Right. So you're really talking here when you say counseling, that, again, I like the way you said that, the behavior behind it, what's driving that desire to eat that fried food when they know it's not good. Does this also apply to kids a lot today, too, even really obese or not? I mean, our kids are, come on, I mean, the diet is horrible today. You know, is this something parents should think about maybe for their children as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would never treat a child without treating their parents, too, because habits are learned mostly in the home. I mean, it's school, too, but the first exposure that children get to food is through their parents, and it's impossible for a kid to eat or to expect a kid to eat a grilled chicken breast that their parents have given them when they're eating pizza right next to them. So I think setting an example is the really the only way to treat childhood obesity, is just to remove that societal norm of just eating bad food.
So yeah, for this popped in my head. Okay, so if you like to focus on what that behavior is behind, what's driving them towards that bad food, what are some of the common reasons that, other than what you just said, that we learn it, what else is there? Is it anxiety? Is it depression? I mean, what do you find to be the most common, thing that's driving us to that bad food?
Stress and boredom. Stress in particular, because it raises the stress hormone cortisol, which is indirectly associated with weight gain, in the sense that cortisol by itself doesn't cause weight gain. It actually would cause weight loss, both from fat and muscle. But when you are in a setting of high stress with elevated cortisol level, your appetite will increase tremendously, and that will offset any weight loss effect that the cortisol might have. And then the double whammy there is when you overeat in the setting of high cortisol levels, you deposit it right around your belly, which we know is the most dangerous fat. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we talked about that on this show too before, that stress can make you fat, and it's an interesting physiological connection. Let's go on. So here we have nutritional counseling, or really more counseling itself, and recognizing what's driving that behavior is important. The next thing, what about hormones? How important does hormone imbalances play for a lot of people when it comes to weight issues?
I think that it can be significant, although I would classify it as the exception rather than the rule. I mean, everybody who comes into my office thinks there's a thyroid problem, and a lot of times there is, but a lot of times there's not. And I think that it's necessary not to jump on the thyroid treatment bandwagon just because that's a way that we can get people's metabolisms going. That being said, I happen to believe that the way traditional medicine diagnoses and treats hypothyroidism is wrong. But I don't think that that's the answer that everybody's looking for. And when I see people in the office and I ask them to track their food for a week, 9 times out of 10, they're eating way more than they thought they were. And it doesn't relate to hormonal imbalance. Now, that being said, certainly menopause and estrogen dominance, elevated cortisol levels, low thyroid, can all contribute to weight gain by slowing metabolism.
So it would be good for people, too, when they come see someone like you, Dr. Charlie, to go ahead and do a complete hormone workup just to make sure we're not missing something there that can be corrected. So that
without
is something
a doubt,
I'm sure
everybody walks into my office gets it. And I think that it's also important to check things like fasting insulin levels, because although I would never tell somebody not to eat carbohydrates, people with elevated fasting insulin levels or degrees of insulin resistance tend to feel better when they eat lower carbohydrate diets. And
gotcha.
If you feel better when you're eating a certain way, you're more likely to stick to that way of eating.
So there's some of the nutritional counseling we got. We're going to check. You're going to look at all those different hormones to, you know, make those corrections that are there. You said something interesting in that hormone discussion, though, that when you have people keep food diaries, we underestimate how much we eat. And I've even seen, I know the medical school I went to did this, and people way underestimate how many calories that they're actually eating in a day. When people realize that, is that kind of like an eye opener for a lot of people?
Yes, absolutely, and it's pretty common, and it's pretty universal with my patients. I mean, people it's nice when somebody comes in and says that they know they're overeating, but it's rare. A lot of people say, "Well, I don't eat anything. My metabolism must be slow." And I say, "Okay, prove me wrong. Show me." And if indeed their metabolism is slow, we will work on that. But most of the time, they're just eating way too much, and they don't see it until they start tracking it because it's mindless eating, which is a large reason we're in this problem that we're in anyway.
Right. So what's new out there? Let's move into some of the medications that might be available. What's new as far as prescription medications for obesity?
So Belvique is the newest FDA-approved medication, and that is the next generation of fenfluramine. If you remember the Fen-Phen fiasco, the fenfluramine binding to a specific receptor on the heart was what was or thought to be responsible for the heart valve abnormalities and the pulmonary issues. This next generation of fenfluramine called Belvique is supposed to avoid that by not binding to the serotonin receptors on the heart.
Do you believe that based on the research you've seen?
The problem is there's no long-term research out there, and up until the Fen-Phen fiasco came out, fenfluramine was thought to be safe.
Okay.
The other one, Qsymia, is just a combination of fentermine and Topamax, which are two very, very safe, very effective, well-known drugs to help with weight loss. Again, it's not going to be a magic bullet, but when someone has appetite issues and overeats, it's certainly a useful adjunct. And I would much prefer to use a medication that's been around for 50 years that we know is safe or has a favorable risk-benefit profile than one that is brand new and is just not supposed to be dangerous.
Right. I like that, the way you said that. Let's move into some of the supplements then that you use. So I know that you really are kind of approaching this holistically. You're looking at food intake. You're looking at the behaviors behind it, correcting those hormonal imbalances. So I like this approach. But at times, we still need some help, right? I think that there are some supplements that have shown in some decent research, some good peer-reviewed journals to be beneficial. Do you have any supplements, maybe two or three, that you can tell our audience about?
Yeah, I think that for people who suffer from mood disorders or sleep issues, and lack of sleep is a giant driver of being overweight, 5-HTP, which is a precursor to serotonin, has been shown to cause weight loss and also helps with sleep. So you're knocking out two things there. I think that a good protein supplement is necessary because most people's diets are not high enough in protein, and we know that protein is satiating, means it makes you full. Specifically, right. Whey protein has been shown again and again to enhance fat loss, to increase muscle mass, and also to decrease appetite. And then branched-chain amino acids also for an improvement in exercise performance, which would then allow you to do more work and burn more calories, and its ability to regulate blood sugar and decrease body fat.
And I'm going to add one in there, too, that I like the research on, and that's fucoxanthin, the brown seaweed extract. That seems to do some pretty well to activating certain enzymes that help fat cells act more like the brown fat that burns that fat a little bit more easy. So you like the 5-HTP, the whey protein, the branched-chain amino acids. I really like this overall approach. How can people learn more about you, Dr. Charlie, and your program?
Well, you can go to my website. It's limitlesslongevity.com. And I keep a blog on there. You can also follow me on Twitter at drcharlies. And I have a Facebook fan page, facebook.com/drseltzer.
All right, awesome. Dr. Charlie, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for the good work that you're doing. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.